I told you I'd play you one of the hits by Five for Fighting. Now, this song, when this came out, the album America Town had just been released when 9/11 happened. In fact, I was the first person to play this song on the radio anywhere. It happened to be in Los Angeles. Well, after 9/11, the firefighters and the first responders in New York took this song and sort of it became an anthem for them. And although the word is never said in the song anywhere, it's called Superman. It's Five for Fighting on Radio or Not.
Just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird, I'm more than a plane, I'm more than some pretty face beside a train. And it's not easy to be me. I wish that
I guess I should have waited till the song ended and I could bring the volume down to call.
Hello.
Hey, Carla?
Hey, who is this?
Oh, it's Nicole calling for your dad. Hey, Livy, is your dad around?
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, John.
Good talk to Livy.
I know. Hey, Livy, did she hang up?
I guess she did. She has a friend over. She has her first boy over today.
Oh, my goodness. She's not old.
Big day over here. We're kind of freaking out.
I bet. What is she now, 7?
She's 8 years old.
8. Oh, my goodness. John Ondrasik is with us. We are live on the air on RadioOrNot.com. I just played Superman. And actually, a little earlier, I played Last Great American. So people know some of your they hear the hit and they go, oh, okay, we know him. And throughout the night, one of the nice things about being on the internet is I can play as much music as I want.
Like the old days.
Just like the old days, yes. And I did a little bragging on it and said, yes, I was the first one anywhere to play Superman on the radio.
You were, and I think you actually might have played Last Great American even before that.
Oh, yes. Oh, I certainly did. Because the first album, Message for Albert, had Last Great American, and I snuck that in a few times, I'm sure.
That's right. Well, it's funny. I'm kind of sitting here going through all my old stuff. We're trying to figure out a set list for the Five for Fighting tour, and I'm pulling up all these old songs that, you know, I haven't listened to, and, gee, some of them are 10, 15 years old, and that was one of them, and it's kind of crazy going back and hearing those songs and flashing back to the past, because I think for this tour we'll bring a few of those out of the closet, and maybe that'll be one of them.
Oh, good. Well, yes. And, you know, I always loved Love Song, too, which is just, I love your point of view in these songs. I mean, Superman, just, that's one of the timeless songs. That's one, and I talked before I played it about how it became this great anthem for the first responders in New York after 9/11. And but before 9/11 happened, I always looked at that song as like a father wanting to be this great hero for his young child and realizing that he's not Superman and that it's okay to be scared. But so songs take on different meanings to different people.
Oh, of course. No, I think a lot of men in particular felt exactly that about that song. We all try to be the rock for everybody, and obviously we can't all the time. You know, we are human. We're not perfect. We have our faults. But it's been great to see how everybody, you know, kind of takes a song like that and makes it their own, whether they're 8 years old or 80 years old. That's kind of the beauty of music.
Yep, and I know that when your son Johnny was a baby, that's, you used to play that and to get him to go to sleep.
That was the only thing that worked. Yeah, if I only wrote that song to get my my infant to actually sleep for 4 hours at a time, it was worth it. But it's you know, look, I've been very fortunate over the years to be able to write songs for a living, and it is it's funny to see now that I'm, you know, been doing this for a while, to kind of see some of these songs. You know, they're not quite oldies yet, but they, you know, they're kind of moving into that range, and it's kind of fun to see new generations find like 100 Years and Superman and songs like that, you know. As I said, I'm going to keep trying to write them as long as people try to like to hear them.
Uh-huh. And I was telling, well, Allison, whenever we're out somewhere and we hear one of your songs that either comes on the radio, or for instance, we went to see The Blind Side last month, and your song Chances from the new album Slice plays over the closing credits, and it's so cool because it's a true story about this football player, and at the end they show these photos, family photos of the actual family, the guy and the family who adopted him and everything. And while Chances is playing, and Allison went, oh, Mom, that's John.
That's awesome. No, it was exciting to be a part of that film. Chances was actually floating around in a couple films. And when they came to me for The Blind Side, they said, you know, there's this indie film. It's kind of small budget, but you might like the story because we know you're a sports fan. So I heard about the story, and then I kind of heard the plot, and they told me Sandra Bullock did an amazing job. And as soon as I kind of got the gist of what they were trying to do, I thought that, at least from my perspective, the chances seemed to fit it perfectly. And, you know, nobody imagined that it would become this kind of runaway hit that it has been. But I'm excited to see a film like that, you know, a feel-good film, talks about, you know, good American values, decency, good people doing the right thing, become such a big hit. And I hope Hollywood takes notice of that and makes some more movies like that. You know, I'm a big fan of Brian's song and a movie like The Blind Side that I think, you know, touches our heart. And I'm just glad that song found its way into it.
Right. And also the fact that I could take my 10-year-old daughter to see it, and she and I and my boyfriend all loved the movie. And you know, there aren't too many that we go to, the three of us, that we all love.
You know, I'm with you on that. I think that you know, that concept, that idea, goes beyond movies. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, me and the family, we'd listen to Carly Simon, we'd listen to the Beatles, we'd go to the movies, we'd watch the same movies. I think you know, we can remember the days when entertainment was family friendly and the whole family could enjoy a film, a record. And, you know, that's one thing I try to take pride in, is try to make records that, you know, that you're not trying to jump out the window as soon as you hear it for the 10th time because your kid wants to hear it. And, mm-hmm. and you know, that's the music I grew up on, and I think there's still room for that today.
I couldn't agree more. Well, you know, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, since before the first hit record. And boy, we go back, what was it, 97?
That's scary, Nicole.
I know. 97, I think, when Message for Albert came out. And, boy, Five for Fighting fans and new fans, that's one you need. That's the very first album. Has that ever been re-released?
You know, I have a few of them. We've been trying to get it re-released. You know, that was the one that kind of went down when EMI Records folded up. One day, maybe I'll re-record that whole record. But you may be able to find it online. We sell a few at fiveforfighting.com. But that is kind of the true collector's item for Five for Fighting fans, and that's why I think I'm going to pull a few songs off that and play them this tour this spring.
Okay, and I started saying Love Song. I know that was one of my favorites off that album as well, which is written from a child's perspective about his parents' divorce.
No, exactly. No, I was actually living in Van Nuys, and one of our neighbors, unfortunately, they were going through a divorce, and they had a small child, and I kind of watched through her eyes what went down, and wrote that song. And to this day, it may be, if you ask my wife Carla, she may tell you it's her favorite song, not in favorite because of the content, but favorite because of the depth and the meaning of that song. And I was actually thinking about, I haven't played that song in 10 years, Nicole, and I was thinking that might be the one I should bring out and play, even though it's a little bit sad. I think it does do what, you know, hopefully most of my songs do, is kind of make you feel and make you think and kind of show the real world.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've always said one of the marks of a great song is when it elicits a visceral reaction from you, a physical response. And whether I get goosebumps when I listen to so many of your songs. I mean, they're goosebump inducing, even, you know, and can bring a tear to your eye. And I know that you just announced the dates. The tour starts March 1st, I think, in Burlington, Vermont.
And that's right.
And you are going to come to Orlando. You're not going to come down this far, but you'll be in Orlando in the middle of March. And so I'm thinking I may have to pull Allison out of school on Monday, and maybe we'll come up.
Well, you better, because it wouldn't be the same without you. And we love playing Orlando. We made the last Five for Fighting live record there. But no, we're going to hit, you know, about 25 cities, and it'll be fun because most of the touring I've been doing the last year has been acoustic. And so we're putting the band out and playing the new songs and the old songs and the hits, and you know, for a guy like me that's been doing it for a while, it's the true reward of getting out and kind of seeing the folks and singing these songs and kind of walking through the last, you know, 10, 15 years of songwriting. So we're excited, and I can't wait to see you.
Well, me too. And hopefully I'll see you out in L.A. In a couple of weeks when I'll just be out there for a visit. John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting is with us, and we're doing the old visiting thing here because we haven't spoken in a little bit, but you have the new album out, which we spoke about, Slice, and the single Chances, and it's a wonderful record. Is this like your fifth
record? Yeah.
Wow. But you also do so much good for other people. You've got we're going to get to the For the Troops in a second, but you also have a website up that you invite people to post videos and their causes on and help raise money for different charities. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's called whatkindofworldyouwant.com. It's kind of based off my song World, mm-hmm. and it's basically a YouTube for charity where people, anybody, can make their own video, upload it to our website, and we get donations from folks and from companies. And we give that money to various charities depending on how many views you get for your video. We have Augie's Quest, which is an ALS charity. We have Operation Homefront and Fisher House that help out our military families. We have Autism Speaks. And we also have Feed the Children and Save the Children, who are doing so much great work in Haiti.
Yeah.
We actually just gave Save the Children $5,000 today from the website because of what's going over there. But the thing is, it's a lot of fun. You know, you can go watch videos. A lot of schools use it for their yearly project. They'll make a video, they'll pick a cause, and And I think for me, the idea was to, but you know, so many people are into expressing themselves and being creative, and anybody can make a video, you know, pop it on there. You know, we've had some videos on there that have had a few million views,
wow,
which is fantastic. And we've raised about $250,000, and it's just something fun. And, you know, especially these days, I think people are looking to express themselves and do something good at the same time, and maybe the website's a platform for that.
Yeah, definitely. That's such a wonderful idea. What got you to do this? What made you decide to put this together?
Well, I've been trying to find some ways to give back over the years, and we were kind of talking about when I had the song World out, what kind of world do you want? So many people were using that in various cause videos, and we kind of just said, hey, you know, YouTube is becoming this big phenomenon. Why don't we try to capitalize that, and instead of just writing a check to a cause or, you know, going to a dinner, you know, let's make it interactive. Let's make it fun. You know, Sorry, am I losing you, Nicole?
No, go ahead. I was queuing up a song that I could play.
Cool.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, kind of build these platforms where it's interactive and people can feel a part of it and express themselves and try to raise money at the same time for these causes that, you know, are very close to my heart.
Great. Yeah, the website again is whatkindofworlddoyouwant.org. John Ondrasik is with us. He is Five for Fighting, and that website grew out of this song from the last album, the one called Two Lights. This is World. John Ondrasik, Five for Fighting on Radio or Not. And now it doesn't want to play. Here we go.
Got a package full of wishes. A time machine, a magic wand, a globe made out of gold. No instructions or commandments. Laws of gravity or indecisions to uphold. Printed on the box I see.
Oh, I love it. Five for Fighting, the song is World, that off the album Two Lights. John Ondrasik is with us. He is Five for Fighting. John, you have the band name, but it's you. You have studio musicians who come in and play on the albums and go on tour with you, right? But it's not really a set band that's same. Is it the same players on every album or no?
It tends to rotate. I've been very fortunate to work with some great producers and musicians over the years, but yeah, Five for Fighting's always kind of been a stage name. It's the hockey term, and I guess the good news is that we'll never break up, but it does get confusing at times.
Well, John Ondrasik is with us. So in addition to whatkindofworlddoyouwant.org, which is a wonderful charity site, you really should check it out. There's lots of entertainment on there, but the money is raised for all these wonderful causes. You also have, you are the executive producer of a series of CDs for the troops. And For the Troops 3 was just released, and it's stand-up comedy. Tell us about this, how this all came about.
Well, about 5 years ago, I was asked to contribute one of my songs to a group of local musicians who were sending music to Iraq, and I thought, what a great idea, And so I got on the phone, and I started calling some of the folks I'd met in the music biz over the years, and we did the first CD for the Troops 3 years ago, which was a music CD of world-class bands and songwriters giving me their biggest hits to give free to the troops, and it was amazing. I had Billy Joel and Jewel and Josh Groban. We've had Melissa Etheridge, Sarah McLachlan, go down the list, Brooks and Dunn, from all different genres, all giving me their biggest songs to give to the troops. And this year we decided to mix it up. We decided to do a comedy CD. And again, we have an amazing lineup this year. We have Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, Dana Carvey, Dennis Miller, Jeff Foxworthy, go down the list again. We just have these world-class comedians giving some of their famous bits and routines, again, to the troops for free. So it's just something that we do to say thank you and remind them how much we appreciate them and their families and what they do for our country.
So the people can't buy this, huh?
Yeah, the only way we can make it done is if we only provide it for the military for free. And if you have a military ID, which 1.8 million active military members do, then you go to the Army Air Force Exchange, which is the AFES website, AAFES.com, and you can download the record there for free. And that's the only way we could actually make it happen, licensing-wise, and getting it through all the copyright issues. But
right.
it's been well-received, and this year's is hilarious. It's family-friendly, of course, because mm-hmm. we had to get it through the military. It was took a little time in the editing room, editing Chris Rock, but it was a lot of fun to do, and I think it's one of our best ones.
It is awesome. I've been enjoying it, and Allison enjoys it, too. So you're right, it is family-friendly. But that's so cool that you do that. This is great. All right. John Ondrasik, the new album, again, is called Slice. The tour begins March 1st in Burlington, Vermont. You will get down to Orlando on, I think it's March 14th. The website, fiveforfighting.com. You can get the music there. You can find out the tour dates. And John, I will see you in a couple of weeks.
I look forward to it, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm going to actually, when we hang up, I'm going to play the, I joke that he's my brother, although Adam really isn't. But we'll hear the cut from For the Troops 3, Stand Up For the Troops, Adam Sandler's Lunch Lady Land.
That one's classic.
Yeah, it's great. All right, John Ondrasik, thanks so much, and I will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so let's do this. Let's listen to a little bit of the comedy. It is The Lunch Lady Land from my brother Adam.
This is a song. This is a new song. It's through the eyes of one of the greatest people alive, I feel. The Lunch Lady. Woke up in the morning, put on my new plastic glove. Served some reheated Salisbury steak with a little slice of love. I got no clue
what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land. Well, I wear this net on my head, 'cause my red hair is falling out. I wear these brown orthopedic shoes, 'cause I got a bad case of the gout. I know you want seconds on the corn dogs, but there's no reason to shout. Everybody gets enough food down here in Lunch Lady Land. Well, yesterday's meatloaf is today's Sloppy Joe's. And my breath reeks of tuna, and there's lots of black hairs coming out of my nose. In Lunch Lady Land, your dreams come true. Clouds made of carrots and peas. Mountains built of shepherd's pie. And rivers made of macaroni and cheese. But don't forget to return your trays and try to ignore my gum disease. No student can escape the magic of Lunch Lady Land. Oh, hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders, navy beans, navy beans, navy beans. Hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders, navy beans, navy beans, meatloaf sandwich, sloppy dough, slap the sloppy dough, sloppy dough, pop the sloppy dough, come on, sloppy dough, pop the sloppy dough, you die, sloppy dough, slap the well, I dreamt one morning that I woke up to see all the pepperoni pizza was looking at me. It screamed, why do you burn me and serve me up cold? I said, I got the spatula, just do what you're told. Then the liver and onion started joining the fight, and the chocolate pudding pushed me with all its might. And a chop suey slapped me and it kicked me in the head. It's called revenge, Lunch Lady, said the garlic bread. I said, what did I do to make you all so mad? They said, you got flabby arms and your breath is bad. Then the green bean said, you better run and hide. But then my friend Sloppy Joe came and joined my side. He said, if it wasn't for the Lunch Lady, the kids wouldn't eat ya. You should be shaking her hand and saying, pleased to meet ya.
So,
she gives you a purpose and she gives you a goal. You should be kissing her feet and kissing her mole. So, now all the angry fools just leave me alone, and we all live together in a happy home. Thanks to Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, yeah. Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, yeah. Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, come on. Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe. Well, me and Sloppy Joe got married. We got six kids and we're doing just fine down in Lunch Lady Land.
All right, Adam Sandler from the CD that John Ondrasik produced and put together and is distributing free to all the troops. Anybody with a military ID can actually get this for free. And just a cool thing that he does. This is the third of these For the Troops CDs that John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting has put together. I am Nicole Sandler. We are counting down toward the State of the Union address. It will happen at 9 p.m. Eastern. Well, I'm going to stay on live throughout tonight. So we got an extended show tonight. Lots coming up. David Swanson is going to join us at the top of the hour. David Swanson, my favorite activist. He is the co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org. He is one of the best organizers. One of the, you know, anytime there's an action going on somewhere, he knows what's going on. He's the guy I turn to for so many things. And so we'll have a good chat about, well, what Barack Obama is doing, how he might be able to turn this his presidency around. Right now, a lot of us progressives, us liberals, are feeling pretty disillusioned. All right. Well, there was some real sadness today. Just moments after the show started at 6 p.m. Eastern, the news broke that Howard Zinn has passed away. Someone in the chat room referred to him as, I wrote it down, and I can't find my notes now, as our, the world's, America's greatest historian, definitely a legendary historian, who I'm so sorry that I never had the chance to interview. He was in Miami for the Miami Book Fair a couple of months ago, and he was on my list of people I wanted, and just I couldn't get it together. So I would just have to make do with some of the recorded interviews that are out there. Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! Has had Howard Zinn on her program a number of times. And Dear Prue in the Tom Hartman chat room has been feverishly going through some clips and giving us some and telling me what clips I should play. So this one I'm queuing in as closely as I can. This is from Democracy Now! It is Howard Zinn talking with Amy Goodman, and the headline is, I wish Obama would listen to Martin Luther King. Howard Zinn died today at the age of 87. He had a heart attack in Santa Monica, California. All right, let's listen to a little bit of Howard Zinn speaking with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!
History of people fighting back, and we want to give... we want to give Americans a history which shows them that it's possible to fight back, that you don't have to depend on the president and Congress and the Supreme Court. In fact, you'd better not depend on them because they're not going to solve the fundamental problems that we have in our society. We can only do it ourselves when we organize, when we act, when we protest. And so we're trying to, yes, energize people by learning a history that is provocative and that is inspirational.
That is some good advice. Howard Zinn talking about, well, what Barack Obama could do. Here's another clip of Howard Zinn also speaking with Amy Goodman.
What needs to be done? They were committing acts of civil disobedience. They were going, you know, into offices where they were told to leave and they wouldn't leave. They were doing what we were doing during the movement against the war in Vietnam. They were doing what the black movement was doing in the South. And this is what we will need. We will need demonstrative acts which dramatize the fact that our government is not responding to what the people need and what the people want.
What's the alternative to war with Afghanistan and Pakistan?
Well, the alternative to war is to send food and medicine. I was with a taxi driver from Afghanistan, and I always start up a conversation with taxi drivers because they know more than most news commentators. And so, not you, I'm not talking about you, Amy, of course, but he was from Afghanistan. I said, what do you think about Obama sending more troops to Afghanistan? I didn't tell him what my position was. He said, we don't need troops. He said, we need food and medicine. We ought to stop thinking that we must have military solutions to the problems that we face in the world. The solutions that we need are the solutions of dealing with sickness and disease and hunger. That's fundamental. If you want to end terrorism...
I'm telling you, the great historian, you have 5 seconds.
If you want to end terrorism, you have to stop being terrorist, which is what war is.
Howard Zinn.
All right. So Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Talking to the late, great historian, Howard Zinn, who died today at the age of 87. All right. I got to gather some more stuff together. Again, I'm just here. Somebody somebody in the Ustream chat said, anybody want to punch Chuck Todd in the face? Yeah, you know, problem with pundits who go on and on about, you know, filling time before the State of the Union. Sometimes they say things that, I don't know. He said, Obama has only lost progressive intellectuals and not real voters. Chuck Todd really said that? Well, you know what? I'm progressive. I don't consider myself an intellectual. I am certainly a real voter. I have voted in every election I've been eligible to vote in since the day I turned 18. So, no, Chuck Todd doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. You know, there is some other sad news today. Sad, but not totally unexpected. The news that Elizabeth Edwards has finally filed for separation from her piece of crap husband, John Edwards. Now, this is so disturbing because I hate to admit it. I voted for John Edwards in the primary here in Florida. As much as I wanted to vote for Dennis Kucinich, I voted for John Edwards because I thought he stood a better chance of winning. Now, as much as I can't stand him for what he did to Elizabeth Edwards, I hate him even more for what he almost did to this country. Can you imagine if John Edwards had been the nominee? And you know what would have happened. I mean, the Republicans would have kept the news. Excuse me. And they would have broken it days, like 3 days or 4 days before the election. We would have John McCain and Sarah Palin in the White House right now. Or I should say, we'd have Sarah Palin in the White House right now, because I don't think the CIA would let John McCain live this long. I really think. I think it would have been, you know, I think John McCain would have suffered a heart attack by now, and Sarah Palin would be in the White House. Isn't that sad that I think that about our government? I just do. All right. Let's try this. Sarah would have murdered him. I don't know about that. I think he would have died of natural causes, if you know what I mean. I don't have any call screeners. I don't have any producer. It's just me here alone. But I'm going to give out the phone number. If you want to call in and make some predictions about what you think President Obama will say in his State of the Union speech. All right, here's the number. 954-889-6410. 954-889-6410. The phone lines are open, and we'll do them unscreened and unfiltered. Your thoughts on what we're going to see tonight. I think we're going to see a guy who's going to come out and be pretty I think he'll be a bit apologetic. I think he's going to, you know, come out with apologies and maybe excuses for not moving as quickly as we hoped he would. You know, things we had heard that some of the things from the speech are starting to leak out now. Some of the early text, apparently he will address don't ask, don't tell. Well, you know what? Don't ask, don't tell should have been done by now, should have been killed by now. The Defense of Marriage Act, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he addresses the lesbian, gay, bi, transsexual community, transgender community. Hold on 1 second. Because they were so there for him, and he hasn't even thrown him a bone yet. All right, let's go to the phones. Hi, who's this?
This is Mitch in Sycamore, Illinois.
Hey, Mitch, thanks for calling Radio or Not. You're our first official caller on the new show.
Thanks. The last president, I won't say his name, kissed Joe Lieberman during a State of the Union address.
Yeah.
And I believe that Obama will do that too, but he will bend over first.
Ooh.
Let's go to the next caller.
Ooh. All right. Thanks, Mitch. Oh, boy. That was a good one. You know, you can call in with your comments if you want. 954-889-6410. And as I mentioned, during the actual speech, I'm going to have our new forum open. The forum that's on the new website at radioornot.com. And again, if you have the old website bookmarked, this won't work. So you have to actually physically type in radio or not, all one word, radioornot.com, and click on forum. Do it now so you're all registered and ready to go by the time we get on the air. And the best comment on the forum during the State of the Union, not only will I post it on my blog, but I'll come up with a prize of some sort. I don't know. I got all kinds of cool swag here. I've got lots of books. You know what? Maybe a really cool book. I'll have three books for the first three, we'll have three winners. All right. And so we'll have a little contest of sorts going. So go on over to the forum, radioornot.com is the website, and register. And you can start posting now, but I will be in there as well as on the air live during the State of the Union address. And write your thoughts. We'll do a group live blogging thing so it can live on forever. All right, let's go back to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Elko John in Elko, Nevada.
Elko John. Hey, how are you doing out there?
It's cold and we got a lot of snow.
Oh, boy. So good. You're staying in and listening to the radio. So, John, what do you think? What do you think we're going to get tonight in the speech?
Okay. He, as far as giving speeches, he's second only to JFK.
Yeah, well, he's good at speaking and good at reading the teleprompter. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying what the right wingers say.
So he's great at the speeches.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait for another 3 months to see if anything's going to happen. Now, you know, the guy you had on from PolitiFact.
Yes.
Mentioned, you know, and he's got accomplishments. Like, he did extend C-CHIP for the kids,
S-CHIP,
right?
S-CHIP, the children's,
S-CHIP.
The state children's health insurance programs. And I can attest to that because, honestly, my daughter is now on S-CHIP here in Florida. He did some good things.
So we do appreciate, but see, something like that, I mean, yeah, the Republicans, you wouldn't get that at all. And something like that is important. But though he's done these little, what I call the little things compared to the big things like the Main Street versus Wall Street and the wars and telling us the truth. And so, I want him to succeed. I think he's a decent fellow. But I think he went up there and he got kind of captured. And I'm concerned that he doesn't have what it takes, like LBJ and JFK and FDR and Abe Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt, to go up against the establishment. That's my worry.
Well, you know, I'm reading this book. I interviewed Adam Cohen yesterday. The book Nothing to Fear, about FDR's first 100 days. And what kills me is that he could have done so much, and he squandered this amazing opportunity, as W like to say, all this political capital he had, and he totally blew it. And now here we are a year later, and he doesn't have that political capital, and it's going to be even look. And now he doesn't have the 60th so-called vote in the Senate. Not that he did him any good anyway, but. But, you know, now he's going to be hard pressed to get anything through. And by all indications are he's looking way to the right. I mean, this spending freeze is really frightening. I mean, do you know the details on this thing?
Yeah, it's going to be a spending freeze on domestic, but not on the military.
Right. Well, here's some of the facts that I've got here. All right. The budget's going to be submitted February 1st, and it's going to call for a 3-year freeze on non-security discretionary spending, the Pentagon, veterans programs, foreign aid, and homeland security will be exempt from the freeze. All right. The freeze will impact $477 billion of spending out of the total budget of $3.5 trillion. So it's about 14%. And not all the programs are going to get cuts. Some agencies actually could get increases while others face cuts, but the two will balance out to an overall freeze. But I'm sure we'll get some of the details tonight. But the fact of the matter is, in a time of economic uncertainty and even disaster, which is what we still have now, that's not the time to freeze domestic spending. You know what? How about cutting defense spending? How about pulling our troops the hell out of Iraq and Afghanistan and spending that money back here at home where our people so desperately need them?
Amen, amen, amen.
All right. Well, Elko John, I hope you'll go into the new forum at RadioOrNot.com. And I always appreciate your comments on the blog. In fact, I think you were the first poster on the brand new website. So I hope you'll join in there and share your thoughts during the speech tonight.
I'm with you. I'm with you to the bitter end.
Cool. Very cool. Thank you so much. All right, John,
bye.
Good talking to you. Some of the kind, by the way, if you want to call in, the number is 954-889-6410. Some reaction to the announcement that Obama was going to have this spending freeze. Paul Krugman said, it's appalling on every level. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Rachel Maddow, who on Monday night had, and I can't think of his name, but he was he's Joe Biden's top economic advisor. Rachel just took him apart. Did you see that? Her comment is, deficit spending is what governments do to get economies moving again. A spending freeze is like trying to put out a fire by pouring gasoline on it. And yet, that is exactly what the president is apparently going to propose doing this Wednesday. Them's some pretty tough words from Rachel Maddow. Yes, Rachel certainly does rock big time. Michael Steele, but Michael Steele said, given Washington Democrats' unprecedented spending binge, this is like announcing you're going on a diet after winning a pie eating contest. Yuck, 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 yuck. Michael Steele, let me remind you, this little, goodie. Again, this was George W. Bush when he gave his first State of the Union address in 2001.
A balanced budget, big surpluses, a country at peace with its neighbors.
Yeah, because that's what you inherited. You know what Barack Obama inherited? Two wars, the biggest deficit in history. I mean, on and on and on. The exact opposite of what George W. Bush inherited. Al Franken said, I'm sure it tests well in a focus group, but I think people have to understand we're in a recession. We can't stimulate the economy and unstimulate the economy at the same time. You think? Ezra Klein on the details. Here's what he said. The administration is proposing specific cuts in the budget. Most expect those cuts to be pretty unobjectionable. Some programs, particularly in the education and health spheres, will even see increases. All right. But it'll be hard to evaluate the policy until we see where the savings are actually coming from. Non-security discretionary spending is a big category. Matthew Iglesias said, I'm attempting not to freak out because A, I don't have the details, and B, I suspect this initiative was deliberately leaked to progressive bloggers in an effort to get denounced by the left, and I don't want to give them the satisfaction. That's interesting. I see Dr. Bill from Progressive Democrats of America, the California chapter, posted an article that John Nichols wrote. That's up on the blog at pdamerica.org. And John Nichols will be on with us tomorrow night in the first hour. So we're going to have he'll be on live tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we will talk about not only the spending freeze, but all aspects of the State of the Union. John Nichols, who is one of my favorite journalists, does an amazing job for The Nation. Again, he will be on with us tomorrow night in the 6 p.m. Eastern hour live with a postscript on the State of the Union. And then my regular Thursday night buddy, John Fugelsang, will be with us in the second hour tomorrow night. So just a preview of what's coming up tomorrow. All right, let's do this. This, I think, is a fitting song to play for the occasion, as we are just about an hour away from the State of the Union address. Do we know yet who's delivering the response to the State of the Union? I'm going to have to pull out some of the clips from last year's response. Who can forget Bobby Jindal from last year? Oh, yeah. Remember? And everyone at the same time was saying, it's Kenneth! Kenneth from 30 Rock! And it was, too. I'll try to pull some clips during the break. We're going to come back with, Bob McDonald. And the speech is already, the response speech is already posted on Huffington Post before they've even heard the speech. Love it. All right. So I'm going to play you a little musical interlude, and we will be back with my favorite activist. David Swanson will join us with, a preview of the State of the Union address. But first, it's Gil Scott-Heron. We're going way back. The revolution will not be televised, radio or not.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Ah, that is Gil Scott-Heron. Yes, going back, way back, the revolution will not be televised. And it works today. I mean, just change out some of the names and it works today.